Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessings on the reading, the proclamation of God's holy word. As we do that this morning, I'm going to ask my wife Jennifer if she would just to pray. Pray for our service. Pray for me as I preach. Thank God for our word. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Abraham Lincoln spoke at the Gettysburg Address to honor the fallen soldiers in the war, not only in that time period, but really these words are applicable to all those who had fallen in war throughout the ages in America. But he said these words, that government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. And may we pray that the government that is for the people and by the people does not perish. May we pray that God's mighty hand continue to be on this nation. For brothers and sisters, we are here by the providence and the authority of God Almighty, and our freedoms are here because of the providence and authority of God Almighty. And so, yes, may freedom ring. And this Independence Day, July the 4th, 2019, may we truly celebrate the freedoms that we have. May we celebrate the 243 years of our nation, that the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the unity of 13 colonies, to be unified, to be independent, and to promote freedom for all people here and around the world. May we celebrate that, and may we marvel into the fact that we are Georgians and we are amongst the original 13 colonies. I think that is great. I think that is awesome. And we are here today also to thank God for our freedom. So let's look at the text. In the text, in the very first part of the first verse in chapter 13, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. And we read that we are to be in submission to the government that is created by the people, and the government that is created for the people, and the created government of the people. We are to be in submission. So what does submission mean? In the dictionary, we read that it is to accept or to yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. And a lot of times we don't like to talk about submission. Matter of fact, in weddings, the submissive part has been removed from the vows that were part of vows for hundreds and hundreds of years, because nobody wants to be under submission to anybody else. But brothers and sisters, may I tell you that that is one of the most unbiblical thinkings of the day. For all through the Bible, we are told to be in submission. In Ephesians and in Colossians, Ephesians 5:22-23, Colossians 3:18-19, Paul exhorts the woman of the house to be in submission to the husband. Why? Because the husband is to be in submission to the Lord, and the husband is to be the one who loves the wife as God, the Lord, loves the church. So in the home, if we were really seeking God's will and seeking to live as God would intend us to live, then our homes would be beautiful because we would be in submission as God intended it to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 16 says we're to be in submission to religious leaders within the church, those who work and labor amongst us. People say, well, what if our religious leaders are bad? Well, sometimes we have to say enough's enough, and we have to deal in gospel order, and we have a place for that in our church. But listen, every religious leader is in submission to God the Father. Amen? And they are going to be held accountable to everything that they do and everything that they say. So, brothers and sisters, there is the time coming when God will put his judgment forth on those who are false prophets, false teachers, and false leaders in the church. And every era will be held accountable, not just to man, but to God Almighty. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, the younger people are urged to be in submission to the older people. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago how there's a problem going on in Israel right now because of the Ethiopian Jews that are making Aliyah and coming to the land. They have been taught in their culture so much about submission to their elders that if their elders call them up on the phone, even if they're serving in the IDF, their elders call them up and say, hey, we need you. They leave the IDF and they go home. They leave the military and they go home to take care of their elderly parents or the elderly in their community. And the army says, we don't know how to deal with this. The Israeli government says, we really don't know what to do. We've got men and women in prison, these Ethiopians in prison right now because all they did was they went home to take care of their elderly. Well, we could learn a lot from that because in American culture, we used to honor our elderly and we used to listen to what they have to say. But in American culture right now, we're just throwing them out with the bathwater. We don't really care what the elderly say. We just count them as old people and we put them to the side. May it never be said at Lime Branch Baptist Church that we do not honor our elderly people in this church. For they have lived a life worthy of our honor. They have lived a life worthy for us to listen to. And if we would start listening to the older members of the congregation, we wouldn't keep making the mistakes that we're making. They have a lot to teach us. They have a lot to say to us. So 1 Peter 5:5 speaks of listening to our elders. 1 Peter 2:13 and 15 speaks of being submissive to the government. And Ephesians 5:21 says we're even to be submissive to one another. So we're to consider one another. We're to listen to one another. We're to care for one another. And perhaps the one that sums it up is James chapter 4 and verse 7. We're to be submissive to God. For God is the one who has all things in his care, all things in his control. And so that is the why. The first thing is that we're to be submissive to our government. The second thing is it tells us the why. And in the second part of verse 1 in chapter 13, the Bible says, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Amen. When Jesus was being asked, when he was going through all these questions, he tells the authority that they can do nothing unless the Father in heaven allows them to do it. For God indeed is in control of all things. We have a God who has providential care upon us. I like what somebody anonymous said. The hand behind the headlines is the providential God. The hand behind the headlines is the God of providence. In Daniel's word in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 20, we read, Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Listen, as Americans, there comes a time that we need to lobby. There comes a time when we need to speak up. And I believe that we are in some perilous times now because the church has been so silent on moral issues and so silent on things that matter to our God in heaven. And the religious freedoms that we have lost over the past few years are our own fault because we have not stood up and spoken out. At the same time, we as religious people, we as God-fearing citizens, need to be the most honoring of our rulers of ever before. We need to treat those who have leadership over us with dignity and respect, whether we voted for them or whether not. They deserve our respect. God has allowed them to be put in the place where they are. We are a people who elect our officers. We elect our officials. And the reason we are where we are, like it or not, is because of the people that we, the people, have elected. And I tell you, the best thing to change America is not only to get out and vote, but to tell people about the gospel message of Jesus Christ the Lord. For when people come under the fear and the leadership of God Almighty, it changes how they act. It changes how they vote. It changes how they think. And this book makes a difference. And I don't care what anybody else tells you. I understand that this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And it is time that we get back to the book. And we're not going to get back to the book unless God's people do not rise up and do what good citizens ought to do. So we are here because of the providence of God, the leadership of God. Nothing happens without His care. Nothing happens without His hand upon it. Roger Williams was a man born somewhere around 1603 in the London, England area. He grew up next to a prison. And at that prison, he saw as a young boy people being executed because of their religious leanings. They had different opinions. They had different convictions of the rulers at the time. When King Charles I was ruler, he had people executed simply because they were not Anglican. One of his good friends, one of his mentors in life, Dr. Leighton, was taken before public. His ears were cut off. His cheekbones, his cheeks were, they carved SS. For this was somebody that they referred to as one who was a sedition. They went against the government at the time. They split their nose open. They did all kinds of whippings and cruel punishment. And they threw this man in prison for life. And Roger Williams says, enough is enough. And he began preaching out against the government impressing on the people what religion they wanted them to have. He got into a lot of trouble, so he secretly got on a ship and landed in the Americas. And there in the Americas, he went to the Puritans, and he found out the Puritans were just as bad to the opposite end, to the opposite pole, to the in the same extreme, though, as the rulers back in England, for they by legal means wanted to impress their ideals on the people. So he went out and he purchased a piece of land, and he purchased it from the Indians, and he said, this land here is going to be a place where people can express their religious freedom. They can express their religious ways with no government coming down upon them. And he began there the first Baptist church on American soil. And the place that he named it was in one of the original 13 colonies, Rhode Island, and the town he named after purchasing it from the Indians. He loved the Indians. He loved the American Indians. Was Providence. So Providence, Rhode Island. As I read that story, I wondered how many people that live in Providence, Rhode Island know their heritage and why that place exists. It exists for religious freedom because he believed that it is God's hand upon people that gives us the freedoms that we have. God can remove His hand at any time from America. We have our freedoms because God's hand is upon this nation. And God is God. And we do not make God make his decisions. He is ruler over all things. And at any time, he can remove his hand of blessing on this nation. Amen. How many of you believe that this nation has been blessed? And we are blessed now. Amen? Amen. May we not fear our government. May we fear the God over our government. May we not fear other lands. May we fear the God of this world. So not only do we have the providence of God, but lastly, Paul speaks here about the practice of the citizens. The practice of the citizens. In 1776, there were a lot of men, women in a conundrum. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to react. For a lot of their freedoms were being taken away, and they were being taxed. Taxation without representation. You guys that read your textbooks remember all of that. And they were having this burden come against them. And so many of them were speaking out against the government in England, but they really didn't know who to talk to. Some of them were loyalist, some of them were revolutionist, and there were good Christian people wanting to honor God on both sides. But you know how the outcome came. Finally, the revolutionists won, and we kept our freedoms. But listen, the Bible says that we need to practice good citizenship. That means that we are to pay taxes. We're to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That means we're to pay attention to our laws and our government. Now, I'm one of these that I'm not sure that we need more laws. It seems like we've got more laws than we know what to do with. I don't know how many of you came to the zoo the last night of Bible school as we celebrated. But who knew, only at the zoo, that we had a law against having hedgehogs in Georgia. I mean, what is that? I think I even saw this good citizen Judith kind of buck at that law, because I think she wants to raise hedgehogs on her place up the road here. We have so many laws. Sometimes it's a burden against the people. But pay attention to the laws of the land and speak out. Know the laws of the land and know when bills go up before our lawmakers, and speak out when you need to speak out. Speak up when you need to speak up, but always do it in respect. Pay homage. Give honor where honor is due. When dignitaries come around, go where they are. I try to make it a point when anytime one of our representatives comes to Rome, Georgia, I try to be there in one of those meetings, because I want them to know that I'm a citizen that cares about our nation. Tom Graves, our representative in the House of Representatives, he knows me by name now. And when I see him, he knows that he's going to see me every time AIPAC rolls around. He knows that I care about Israel-United States relationships. And he has spoken out of that. I've shown up in Rome, Georgia. He said, hey, there's Brian Crisp here. And he represents AIPAC. Do you all know what AIPAC is? And he's told the whole crowd what AIPAC was. It's pretty nice. Listen, it's not because of me, it's because I showed up. And it's time that we as citizens showed up and spoke out and spoke up, and at the same time did it in respect and honor and care for our leaders. Lastly, let me say this. Let's pray for our leaders. Paul tells young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 1 to 4. 1 Timothy 2, he says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to knowledge, to the knowledge of the truth. We ought to be the church that prays for those in authority over us. We ought to be the people in our homes, not just in our church, but in our homes. This 4th of July, Independence Day, this Thursday night, we ought to be a home that gathers up together and prays for our nation, prays for our leaders, that we may live peaceful and tranquil lives. And above all, Matthew 10 and verse 28, don't fear those that can kill the body, but fear God. Amen. And good citizens of a nation are citizens who fear God. Tell others about the Lord. Tell others about this word. Pray for our nation. Thank God for our nation. And celebrate our freedom. Celebrate our freedom with fireworks and watermelon, but celebrate our freedom by showing up on Sunday morning. Amen. And Sunday night and Wednesday night. Oh, our God is a wonderful Savior and a wonderful Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for our freedom to worship you. We thank you, God, for how you speak to us and how you have given us your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for proving yourself true time and time and time again. Father, may we now, at the end of the service, humble ourselves in honor of you and seek you, Lord, while you may be found. We pray this.